Welcome back in a special four-hour edition of Robbie and Rexrow today. Final hour here on the program. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Fraser here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
I'm a bit jealous. That's my favorite course out there, not that I play very often.
Ooh. PK, how good of a golfer are you?
Not very good. I'm decent around the green.
Okay. That's half the battle out there. I'd like to see that. We'll have to go play someday. So, PK, obviously, Kevin Byard back at minicamp yesterday. He did not speak to the media, which was interesting. We'll see whether or not that happens today. But Kevin Byard, Will Levis, lots of storylines heading into camp. But what stood out to you about day one of mandatory minicamp for the Titans yesterday?
Well, I mean, it's no surprise that Byard is back, and Autry was there, which should be pointed out as well. He'd not been around, which is kind of his MO, but it cost you $93,000 to miss these 3 days. So, and there's no wiggle room on that. So, you know, he's not there seemingly because he's insulted by them asking him to take less money. It would make zero sense for him not to be there and to be fined some of that money that they're asking him not to take. So that would be kind of a bizarre twist. It's nice to see a much more complete secondary on the field. Hooker hadn't been out there lately, hurt, you know, still lacking Fulton. So not totally complete, but definitely a far different feel with the safeties complete. And the defense, you know, was, I don't want to say dominant, but far, far better than the offense yesterday. A lot of drop passes, a lot of shaky routes, a lot of bad stuff from the offense. Some of it created by the defense, some of it you know, would have been bad against air, I think.
So how do you interpret Byard not talking yesterday? And also in that secondary, you've got Christian Fulton, I guess holding in, I guess. I love that term, holding in. And then Elijah Molden not being out there yesterday to me is a bit of a red flag. Big DB news there.
Lot of a red flag, especially if it's a groin injury, you know, a really big red flag. I don't think Christian Fulton's holding in. I think Christian Fulton's hurt. Christian Fulton being hurt is a huge issue. I mean, he wasn't there for the first week of OTAs. Teron Davenport reported, you know, he was down with these people that he's playing, that he's training with. So in Florida, who've worked with LeBron James and some other big basketball players. One fan was great about how it's going to help him, you know, shoot better foul shots or something like that. But, you know, look, it's good that he went to different off-season people. That is part of what Mike Vrabel was urging him to do, to change his off-season routine. But that didn't mean stay away from the in-season or the in sync stuff with the Titans, right? So that was dumb not to be around for the first week of OTAs. Then he shows up for the second week of OTAs last week, and he wasn't on the field. And now minicamp rolls around, and he's not on the field. I can't imagine he's doing it healthy. And so he's hurt again. And that's a bad sign. And now Molden joins him. And so all of these visions, you know, and look, it's June, right? It's June. But it doesn't bode well that your guys who've had, and these are the two leading soft tissue injury guys, doesn't bode well that they can't be fit enough to get out there for non-contact practices in June, because it's only going to get more strenuous for them come July and August.
Paul Kuharski with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And PK, we had Mike Herndon on yesterday, and we talked about Harold Landry. He's coming off the ACL. We've seen players come off the ACL in recent years, and they're available, and they can play in some instances, but maybe not quite back up to the level they were prior to the injury, and it takes some time. So with that in mind, what do you think are fair expectations for Harold Landry heading into this season?
Well, I think you start with how many snaps he can play, right? He's been a very high snap guy in this defense. I think some of us think too much, right? But they don't have great depth behind Landry and Key in this defense. Rashad Weaver would be next. He's got some limitations in his game. He's been kind of a streaky guy in terms of what he does. After that, really no one. And so you hope you get the snaps from Landry, though it's probably not realistic to think that he's going to play, you know, 92% or whatever he's been playing before. And then, you know, look, everybody gets their own story, but I think it's reasonable for fans to presume they're not going to get a massive year out of a guy coming off of ACL, even though he's had a longer time, because he'll have had a year and a week when opening day rolls around. But, you know, you go all the way back to Conklin, and then you look at Robert, more recently, Robert Woods, Lawan, and Dupree, and none of them were anything like themselves the year after their ACL tear. And so recent history tells us, you know, not to be incredibly optimistic. And Harold Landry's a huge key to this whole thing. I mean, the defensive front's a huge key to this whole thing, not just on defense, but for the whole team. We've seen recently when that front four sets the tone for the whole team, they're in pretty good shape. And when it doesn't, they're not. So I think Harold Landry's a linchpin to this whole thing, and there's some reason for trepidation there.
If you had to play, you're coaching this team, you got to play a game tomorrow, you don't have Ryan Tannehill. Based on what you've seen so far this spring, who's your quarterback?
Yeah, Will Levis, and not so much based on what I've seen from Will Levis, just based on upside. I mean, how much could Malik Willis have done since Josh Dobbs played in front of him? I don't think that incredibly much. You agree?
No, I don't know what he did in the offseason. You know, I ask you that because I'm watching them, and I'm not seeing a big difference right now. They both look like young quarterbacks who are a little bit overwhelmed.
I agree, but I think you drop one of them into a pressure situation, and we've seen what happens, so I'll take the other one.
PK, on the Tyzaire Spears front, we were talking about him earlier in the show. Obviously, a lot of the discussion around him since the Titans took him has been the injury history and the ACL or lack of ACL and all those things, but as you watch him now through OTAs and rookie camp and now into mini camp, what kind of a weapon, how big of a weapon do you think he could be for this Titans offense?
Well, I think they've got in him a more modern running back who can do everything. And I wrote today about they're pushing the envelope with him. Vrabel basically said, like, they're doing more with the running backs in general and with Spears specifically, then they'll wind up doing, and then they'll pull it back to more manageable stuff overall and on a per game basis. So, I mean, that's an exciting new element to the offense. Now you have to also factor in how many snaps is he going to get, particularly if Henry's going well. You know, what kind of third downs are they in, and all of that. But I think, too, you know, you can look to him and to the tight ends as a partial solution to the lack of wide receivers, maybe, which I think is I don't know, cheating. You use what you have. And I don't think he or any of the wide receivers are the speed downfield threats that this team needs so desperately. But I think they'll be creative there and do the best they can with him. And I think, you know, people need to get over the ACL stuff with him. It's an issue in the past, and it's going to be an issue in the future, but it's not an issue right now.
How are you feeling about the kicking situation?
I don't really care about it right now. because, you know, it's for later. But I do think that they're very arrogant about it. Like, oh, we got these two kids with big legs, and one of them will be refined enough for us to deal with later. And they're just very arrogant about special teams in general. When they've got a special teams coach who, you know, last time we talked to him said, you know, their standards are catching punts and what was the other thing?
I don't remember.
Joe, you
I
there.
Do. I mean, don't remember. I w- no, I don't remember. The most interviewed special teams coach in the history of the NFL.
The what?
The most interviewed special teams coach in the history of the NFL.
Well, I don't care about that. When he's interviewed, he's got to say something. And his standard for special teams was, oh, catching punts and kicking field goals from 40 to 49. I mean, he's a good special teams coach with those standards in the 80s, maybe? I don't know. In the 80s, you returned punts. So that's not right. Maybe those were good field goal numbers in the 80s. You know, look, this fair catch rule on kickoffs should do wonders for the Titans, who could start at the 25 instead of the 14. so that'll be a real field position gain. He'll look great on that, on the average field position start. You know, the kickers to me are for later. And even tracking them at practice, yeah, I need to see them in the games. But look, they're two guys with big legs. I just don't know how well they get refined into being not wild. Like Wolf kicked yesterday, and he hit a lot of stuff, but like one was big, like, glorious rainbow, and the next one was a crazy weird knuckling blind drive. That's not good consistency. Like, you got to have the same swing on it all the time, right?
PK, last thing for you here, I do want to give you a chance to just offer your thoughts on the passing of Bob Hyde over the weekend, longtime Titans and Oilers executive.
Bob Hyde was a lovely guy and a really, really dedicated to the organization. You know, he was close to ownership, and so when he first arrived, I think just some people were skeptical about that, but it didn't take long because he was such a elegant guy, if you will, to win over everybody that he worked with and everybody that he crossed paths with. I really regret, I heard very late that he had taken a turn for the worst and did that stupid thing you do where you say, oh, I need to reach out and get in touch with him, and then the next thing you hear, he's passed away. So I'm filled with regret over that, but I think so many people cross paths with him that are connected to the Titans, and you can't find one who didn't have a very, very warm feeling about Bob Hyde. He went out of his way every time I saw him since I started my website, which has been you know, several years now, to tell me how much he enjoyed it and appreciated my work, and meant a great deal coming from him.
Very well said. PK, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
That's right. Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans, including a very interesting question on the text line I want to get Joe's thoughts on coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Wednesday morning.
Taste of Honey, Boogie Oogie. This is another elite disco song. Mm. Dang, man. How'd you know?
Basically, you don't dislike disco as much as you think you do.
It's still six songs, though, man.
I know.
Or five songs. I mean, there's like Casey and the Sunshine Band. Like, I just don't like any of their songs. Like, they're a huge disco band.
I showed up to a NHL party at the All-Star Weekend here in Nashville. I turn around, it's Casey and the Sunshine Band playing at the Music City Center for our NHL party. I was like, man, what's going on up there?
Why do I have to rip all the artists who live here?
I'm just trying to do
my job. I
don't
know if they live here or not, but, I mean, they probably do.
I guess basically everybody does, so if you're going to rip anyone, you're ripping a local.
Might as well, right?
No offense, Casey and the Sunshine Band. I just don't. It's just.
With all due respect.
Okay. I mean, most of the Bee Gees stuff, I don't like that much either.
Yeah. With all due respect.
Yeah, all due respect. Can't stand your music.
We're with you until 10 o'clock today. We've got our golf tournament going on later today at Hermitage Golf Course. So looking forward to that. Hopefully I'm able to stripe a few out there. Our second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls. Every $20 donated provides a new pair of shoes to a child experiencing homelessness in Nashville. With a donation or through the silent auction, you can text DONATE to make a donation to 615-737-1025 or text AUCTION to view the items for the silent auction as well, or visit thegamenashville.com/golf. They got all sorts of stuff. In the silent auction, there is a David Ross autographed Chicago Cubs baseball, Ryan Vogelsong autographed San Francisco Giants jersey. He got two tickets to the 2024 Valhalla PGA Championship. There's a whole bunch of stuff available for purchase at the silent auction. So make sure you check that out at thegamenashville.com/golf. So lots of interesting stuff with the Titans to discuss. I want to bring up a question to you that Colton had on the text line. And the question is this. Do you guys think that the switch from the pro style or the offense they were running with the most recent addition of the Titans to the tempo that it looks like they're going to a little bit now is better for incoming college talent, seeming as a majority of colleges are moving in that direction? This is from Colton on the text line.
Yeah, it's not that dramatic. Let me quote teenagers and live in my house. It's not that deep.
Not that deep, man.
I mean, it's like they're going to do some tempo, but
it's mid.
It's mid. There you go. Yeah, they're going to do some. I don't know. And I don't honestly even know. We get to Sundays next year. Are they going to be actually doing hurry up for the majority of the game? I'd be a bit surprised. But
I hope so.
They're adding some. I mean, that'd be fun. You know, they're adding it to the. And I think some of it is just the idea in general of urgency. Again, it's going to look a little different. They got some different stuff in there, but. A lot of it's going to look the same, too. It's one of the, whatever, four, five offenses in the NFL. I mean, then there's a whole lot of interplay between those offenses. The terminology is different. So, you know, when you talk about college or the NFL, it's one thing that, again, go back to. So this offense, let's talk about this offense. You know, people call it the Earhart Perkins, like Mike Herndon called it that yesterday, which goes back to. Long ago, Chuck Fairbanks' assistants in the New England Patriots in the late 70s when they developed the 3-4 defense and they had this offense because of the terminology. Well, I mean, though that offense is the same offense that in 2007 with the Patriots used all these air raid concepts and were just thrown all over the field. Randy Moss, you know, that team that didn't win it all. Tough one. For you, Brady. Sorry about that, but they didn't win it all. But they were incredible, right? Well, it's the same. That's the same offense. So watch that offense operate in 2007. Go watch it operate in 1978. Now it's some of the like. There's some same concepts with run game and the terminology, but you know what I mean. I mean, it changed. A lot of college has gone up to the NFL. You know, the Air Coryell offense that I loved. I mean, some of the most fun football you will ever watch. Still today. If you go back and watch the San Diego Chargers game from 1981, 1982, 1983, Dan Fouts triggering that thing, Air Coryell, amazing. You know who else ran that exact same offense? An assistant under Don Coryell named Joe Gibbs, who went to Washington, and it's the same offense, and yet all we think about with that offense is the Hogs and John Riggins and smash mouth and pound the ball because they ran stuff that related to their personnel. By the way, they still had Art Monk. And the Smurfs, and they threw it around a little bit too with Joe Theismann. But point being, you adjust your personnel. So no, I mean, as far as like this scheme having any better relation to the college players or anything like that, I mean, it's this scheme has been in the league forever, and it's just who your players are that you're gonna. I think it'll look different, in part because of schematics. And again, think about the Houston Texans. When Tim Kelly was OC, but also like a guy like Tyjae Spears. I think a guy like Tyjae Spears can be interesting in this offense. I think a guy like Chigakonkwo this year could be quite interesting in this offense. But he could be interesting in a lot of offenses.
I just think it's amazing how you found yet another way to, in the same sentence, in the same little diatribe that you just went on, take a shot at Brady and elevate Dan Fouts. Right, the same thing again. You did it again. It's like the 20th time you've done it on this program.
Basically, they're both in the Hall of Fame. Actually, one of them's in, one of them isn't.
That's true.
I mean, one of them's a Hall of Famer. One of them is not. I don't. I mean, you tell me the lie.
Got a texter that says, "How has the rookie tight end Wiley looked?" How's Josh Wiley look?
It's a good question. I'm not. Like, there just wasn't much going on yesterday with him. And now that I think about it, like, I don't even remember seeing him. So then it's like, wait a minute, was he sitting? No, he was out there. I just, like, yesterday's stuff, he didn't get a lot of action, but he looks the part for sure and has looked good catching the football. So I think he'll be much less hated number two tight end than Jeff Swain.
That's good. Yeah. That's a positive development. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball, a doubleheader today at 11:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a texter that says, can you guys please talk about Byard? I know he's at camp, but there must be something else. I swear Vrabel touched his face when he was asked about Byard yesterday. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Glad you all are talking about anything else. I thought it'd be over when he showed up. Jared was out yesterday, decided to listen to the show, and I can tell he trained Caroline. She wants there to be a problem so bad.
Uh-oh.
And what a text message that is, because that leads us into something we were going to get into on the program today. Caroline had some interesting thoughts on Mike Vrabel's answer to Teresa Walker's question about Kevin Byard yesterday. Here is what Vrabel and Caroline had to say yesterday on the program.
How nice is it to have Kevin back? You'd said that, you know, and Shane had, y'all expected him back. How did he look out there on the field?
Looked like everybody else. Looked like he knew what he was supposed to be doing and like he was in good shape. So it's good to have everybody out there that's ready to perform and able to be out there.
I have an issue with Mike Vrabel's response to that question. One, Mike Vrabel says, you know, hey, he looks good, looks ready to go. Like we said earlier, Adam, that's not the issue. That's not the problem. Kevin Byard being in shape and being ready to go and looking in game shape, looking like he's in camp shape, that's not the problem. If you've been concerned about Kevin Byard and his physical fitness, you're worried about the wrong thing. Everyone knew that Kevin Byard, at least everyone should have known that Kevin Byard would show up ready to go. The problem is his standing with the organization. The second thing, with Mike Vrabel saying, hey, you know, he's out there just like everybody else is. Everyone's out there. Everyone's looking good. It's not about everyone else. You didn't ask everyone else to take a pay cut. You didn't ask everyone else, hey, you know, we need you to take less money because you're taking a little bit too much, even though, because you're paid a little bit too much, even though you've been available and effective in nearly every single game that you've played for this organization. It's not about everyone else. It's about Kevin Byard. So Kevin Byard not speaking with the media, combined with Mike Vrabel's less than enthusiastic response about Kevin Byard being there, red flag.
So that was Caroline yesterday on Stillman & Company, Caroline Fenton and Adam Vingan filling in for Jared yesterday.
I pulled my car over.
Did you?
Well, so I did. I was driving back, and I was listening to, and by the way, I really enjoyed the Caroline-Adam combo.
Yeah.
But she said that, and then she also said, so a little bit later, she said, if everything was all right, Vrabel would have answered that in a different way, okay? So I'll just read our text exchange. I pulled my car. I said, you're totally wrong what you just said. And she texted back, what did I say? And I said that he would have answered differently if everything was all right. That answer was straight out of page one of Vrabelese. Reporter tries to get a comment on an individual for good or bad reasons. He takes it to Everyone has to get better. Great to see everyone out there, etc. The answer meant zero. And since I'm just reading texts, then I swear to you that I pulled my car over a second time. A few minutes later, although it was kind of like I was exiting, so it worked out better, more efficiently this time.
Oh, that's good.
So they were, again, Adam and Caroline were going back and forth, like again, treating this like it's a contract dispute.
Yeah.
What does this mean? You know, and I texted them both this time. I got Vingy and I said, you guys are driving me crazy. They tried to cut his pay. He said no. He's playing on his contract this year. There's no intrigue. The Titans have zero reason to be upset. Byard has reason, so he's made that very clear. The end. And then Vingan texted back, go watch Charmed. And then I texted back, I've watched every episode 17 times already.
Right, that's right.
Charmed, Alyssa Milano. But
shut up.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry, but first of all, the Vrabel thing, and it's not just that, too. I should add this. It's not just like the Vrabel, this is what he does. He tries to take away from the individual goal of the team. Also, he loves to step on a storyline.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows exactly what we're all talking about and trying to ask him about and wanting to ask Byard about. So he's also in storyline kill mode, and it just doesn't mean anything. Like it means nothing. The organization gave it a shot, and they lost. I mean, they are not getting anything for Byard. There's you can't move him. Why would you cut Vingan's talking about cutting him? Why would you cut him?
I don't know.
So you can suck? I mean, again, I'm not saying that one safety totally makes your defense fall apart, but he's a great player and they don't have depth and they're there's no sense at all on the organization side there's something going on. Now on his side, we'll see if he talks today. And obviously, but I want him to speak to this. He did not like being asked to have a pay cut. Would anyone? I mean, this station, I don't want to bring our business to the table. You got asked to cut from $4 million down to $3.5 million a year recently. Did you like it? No.
I did not.
So there you go.
But sometimes you have to do a little bit of business.
Compromise at $3.75 million.
It's all good.
That's fine.
Everything's working out well.
A lunch wouldn't hurt, Robbie, okay?
Yeah,
a lunch wouldn't hurt.
We'll see what we can do. I have two big takeaways from this. Number one, it's good to know from Mike Vrabel's mouth to our ears that Kevin Byard looks like he knows what he's doing out there. That was my number one takeaway from that comment yesterday. That's good. Good to know that Kevin Byard knows what he's doing out there. Number two, you're an instigator. I think that's what we've learned. Jared's gone. He's on vacation. You're usually blowing him up. And now that he's gone to fill that void, you felt like you had to pull over off the side of the road yesterday and get after Caroline and Adam. It's you. You're an instigator.
I was de-instigating. I'm trying to de-instigate. They're instigating, and so I'm trying to de-instigate. It's Nate says, all I can say is Caroline spent too long with Jared when she started with the station. Jared has turned Caroline into Skipton.
Skipton?
Oh, I got you. Caroline Skipton? Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, again, let's remember that it was Caroline and Adam who were involved in the second text.
It was.
I can't. If you can talk me into the organization is figuring things out with Kevin Byard now. Please tell me how that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you're not saving anything if you cut him, right? I mean, it's just, and he's a good player. I get the idea.
You're saving something, but you have some dead money. You'd have
dead
more
money.
Cap space.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have. But yeah, but for what? What are you using that for now? Right. If you're gonna do that, you should
get a great receiver.
I guess so. But if you're gonna do that, you should have done that a while ago. So, I get it. I mean, I understand from Rand Carthon's side, hey, let's see if he wants to take a pay cut. I mean, don't you kind of have to know heading into that conversation that the answer's probably going to be no? Kevin Byard's not the first player that's been asked to take a pay cut before. Usually the answer is no, and it may upset you, and then eventually you move on. By the time training camp rolls around, I don't think this is going to be that much of an issue with Kevin Byard and the Titans. He's going to talk at some point, whether that's today or sometime in the future.
That ends it.
They'll talk about it. It'll be over, and that's it. They asked me to take a pay cut. I didn't like it. Made me mad. I didn't do it, and now here we are playing football.
Yeah, as soon as he talks, to me, it's over. The Titans are not doing anything. The Titans are happy to have a player like that in their defense. They want to win this year. They need him in their defense. They're paying him. He has a contract. It's over. From just basically What does Kevin say about it? We're all going to crowd around him today or tomorrow or in late July if he decides not to talk this week.
Yeah.
And ask all the questions about this situation, and he's going to say what he says, and I am very interested to see what he says, and then it's over. I mean, there's no intrigue.
No. I got a texter that says, obviously they don't want to extend him for next year. He's under contract next year.
Right.
So, now, look, Kevin Byard's he's 30. So, we're getting close to the point in the NFL where you look at how much money a player is being paid, and you're trying to determine as a team – you know, what's the old adage? You'd rather be 1 year early than one too late with somebody. I mean, we talk about that all the time. I mean, Jarrell Casey was a good example of that. When the move was made, a lot of people raised their eyebrows like, really? Titans traded Jarrell Casey, huh? How about that? And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't.
It's better to be a year early than a year late.
It is.
For sure.
And that's what everybody tries to do. I'm not saying that that's what they're going to do with Kevin Byard after this season. Maybe it is. We'll wait and see what happens. But he is under contract for this year and next. So,
yeah, look, I could see this being Kevin Byard's last year for sure.
I could.
But at this point, the way the team is constructed, it's really not an option to not employ him this year on your football team. He just showed up for mandatory minicamp because, like Paul Kaharsky said, why would you then take money out of your pocket from the team that you said, no, you're not taking money out of my pocket? And he was, again, yesterday on the field with all the other guys, everything. He was the leader. Everybody rallied around him. He made a great play. He was pulling this guy and that guy aside. He's doing Kevin Byard things, and that's what's going to happen now.
Got a text that says, y'all are always talking bleep about Jared, but he will say what y'all want, right or wrong. Let's go. Hashtag Team Jared.
He'll say stupid crap that you won't say. Yeah, you're right.
I will agree with one part of that. He will say stuff that we will not say. There's times that that happens.
Anonymous texter?
It is an anonymous texter.
Jared? Question mark?
We gotta trace this area code. Yeah. Jared's getting burners in different area codes. That is diabolical, Jared.
Again, we love Jared on this show. We really do.
When someone texted Jared and someone texted on here, Carolina's great. I said, yes, Carolina's awesome, but we can disagree and get after each other a little bit, can't we?
And you and I have yelled at each other quite a bit, and we still love each other, I think.
Sure.
Sure, he said. Sure, why not? I guess.
Uh-oh, we've just found there's intrigue on the show.
615-737-1025, our phone number. You know what? Jason Bateman's a great guy. I love him.
Easy.
615-737-1025. One more on Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Today is the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura and benefiting Souls for Souls. Looking forward to that coming up a little bit later today. Going to a good cause. Every $20 donated provides a new pair of shoes to a child experiencing homelessness in Nashville. With a donation or through the silent auction, you can text DONATE to make a donation or text AUCTION to view the items for the silent auction to 615-737-1025. Or you can visit thegamenashville.com/golf. We got all sorts of stuff that are available for auction. A Callaway Club and Golf Bag, Golf and Whiskey Experience for four for Tennessee Golf. Got some Predators swag that's out there as well. Colton Sissons autographed canvas print. Philip Forsberg autographed Nashville Preds pennant. So we got a lot of different items available for silent auction. Check it out, thegamenashville.com/golf. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So you brought up Treylon Burks earlier, and, you know, you say that he looks good out there, looks like he knows what he's doing, all that's great. It's just, if I'm a Titans fan, I hear that, and that's what you're holding on to, right, with this offense? Like, you know more or less what Derrick Henry is. He's going to be the main factor of the offense. They're going to give him the ball a lot. I know they're changing the offense, but Derrick Henry is still going to get the ball a lot. You know what to expect when he's got the ball. I mean, you know that Ryan Tannehill, if he can stay healthy, he's not Mahomes, he's not Rodgers, he's not any of those guys, but he's good. He's a good player. He'll find the open guy. He'll deliver the ball. For the most part, he'll take care of the football. But who's he going to be throwing to? And there's just so much on the back of Treylon Burks heading in this year that we've talked so much about. I think we're going to find out a lot about him, not just as a player, but just like his approach this year. Like, this is a lot of pressure on him this year to come in. He has to be great if this Titans offense is going to be able to move the ball effectively. I mean, you know, I heard, you know, Jim Wyatt was on with Michelle and Chase yesterday, and he was sitting down like at his desk at the Titans facility and was just rolling off some of the point totals that the Titans had. 14 points here, 17 points here, 14 points here. And you just can't have that in today's NFL. Like, you've got to find a way to get into the mid-20s and 30s way more often than they did last year. I mean, I remember, Joe, when they scored 24 last year. Again, I think it was the Packers game, they scored 24, and I was like, geez, what is this? That was an offensive outburst.
Right. I mean, it was like, well, an amazing night for Todd Downing.
Well, it was.
To a certain point. But it was like a trick play. I forget even what the play was, but a trick play worked.
Yeah.
And they had pace, and they seemed to be ahead of the Packers, you know, a step ahead, whereas too often a step behind. But again, a step behind, which when you have a Matador at left tackle, is a lot easier to be a step behind because you're always behind the sticks because you're in.
Well, in that game specifically, when Matt LaFleur is on the other side, it's not hard to be a step ahead of him. But that's fine. But
that's your guy.
If I'm a Titans fan, what you've said today about Burks and Okonkwo would excite me if I'm a Titans fan. They got to have those two guys being huge difference makers this year.
Yeah, they do look good. They do. And I think, yeah, I mean, you're probably right. You're probably right that Burks has to be great. Now, if Burks is very good, and so is Chig, and so is Kyle Phillips, and so is Spears in his role, and Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry. Yeah, exactly. And all those guys are very good because, in part, they're able to make plays because the offensive line's better. Well, okay, then you may have a significantly better offense. Dustin Hopkinsville, you know, this says the team isn't going to be as bad like most folks think. They address the O-line issue, which in itself solves 50% of your problems. Again, if you say they address, we don't know. They addressed it.
Right.
But did they address it effectively? That's what we don't know. And I do think, you know, we had Mike Kernan on yesterday, and I do think it's worth pumping the brakes a little bit. I mean, look, we're not going to say much. We're not going to be able to tell much this week. Tell a little bit more in camp as you go. I said yesterday, you know, like Dillard at one point, Weaver got him real bad on one play. He looks to be fine to me at left tackle, Dillard, you know. But, like, how much better is that offensive line? Like Herndon said, so Ben Jones to Aaron Brewer, how do you look at that as anything but a step down? Also, Nate Davis. Now, I will disagree maybe a little bit with him just because I think Nate Davis wasn't nearly the level of, like, 2021 Nate Davis or 2020 Nate Davis, the last 2 years has not been at that same level. But still, is Brunskill going to be better than him? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's at all a sure thing.
Well, the bottom line is, to me, I'm glad that they've addressed the offensive line. You know, the more I watch and read about Skoronski, the more I'm convinced that he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a good player, especially if he plays in guard. So I like that. But you do have Brewer moving to center, and we'll see how that goes. You know, he's in the 290 range, according to him. According to other people, he's like 190 pounds. So we'll see what happens.
He meant 290 kilograms.
Yes. We'll see how that holds up. But to Herndon's point from yesterday, you know, is he going to be as good as Ben Jones at center? Like, I don't know.
It's asking a lot.
It's asking a lot for that to take place. And with the other two spots that are new at left tackle and at right guard, you know, I think we look at it and we say, well, it's not very difficult to be better than Dennis Daly at left tackle. And I agree. I also don't think that's the bar that you should be shooting for.
Like, right.
Just improving over Dennis Daly is not necessarily going to be good enough. The bottom line is you are looking at a backup from the Eagles at left tackle and a guy who has started but last year was a backup for the San Francisco 49ers at right guard. So that doesn't mean that they can't come here and start and play well. I do think there is some of just assuming that the Titans have fixed the offensive line from some of the fan base out there. And the bottom line is we just don't know yet. I mean, I think there's a chance that it's better than last year. If I had to to pick whether or not it was going to be better than last year, I would say yes, because I think Petit Frere will improve, and I think that Dillard is an upgrade over Daly at left tackle. But we don't know how much better it's going to be.
No. I mean, I would definitely feel good about guessing it will be better. But how much better does it have to be? It has to be a decent amount better.
Right.
Nicholas Petit Frere, sometimes you see that second-year jump. They need that. They need a second-year jump from him. He had ups and downs as a rookie. Overall, I'd say definitely not like a discouraging rookie season, but can he be a plus player for you now in his second year? And I mean, look, I think he's one of those guys who he's going to, you know, he's going to do all he can to be better.
Well, and then nobody wants to think about this, and I get it, but based on the sport itself and the recent history for the Titans, like what happens if one of those two tackles go down? Like if Petit Frere has to miss five games or if Andre Dillard goes down, like what do you do at that point if you're the Titans?
Yeah, well, that's where Skoronski's versatility could come into play. But also, I mean, JaMarco Jones is out there. And
he is.
Remember, JaMarco Jones was basically just a non-factor last year. He was hurt. They need that signing because they had a real bad run here under John Robinson of sort of the free agent offensive lineman signing. Since Saffold, they've had a tough run. Well, drafting and signing. It's just been a bad offensive line evaluation stretch for them. They need JaMarco Jones this year to demonstrate that at least he – I mean, remember last year we were talking about him starting or competing at this spot or that spot. Can he be serviceable as a swing tackle?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and we talked about that at receiver the other day. I mean, receiver, we don't know about the starters, much less the depth. But the depth still on the offensive side is not great. I mean, it's you're one injury away on the line and one injury away at wide receiver from things looking pretty rough for the Titans. So you got to avoid that.
Right. That receiver, you know, the depth I mentioned earlier, Racy McMath.
Yeah.
Racy McMath is running around doing different things. I feel like Racy McMath is in the plans with a role. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to have a heavy volume of snaps. Not saying that. Not saying he's starting or high volume of snaps. But I like his chances to make the team, and I do think that there's something there. Colton Dowell, somebody asked that on the text on earlier. It's hard to say. Like again, I said earlier, he did get open on a deep shot. Levis kind of threw a flat deep ball, overshot him a little bit. But he's interesting, you know. And maybe it's those two guys competing ultimately. So I think we know the top four.
Can you imagine what Racy McMath could do if Dan Fouts was his quarterback?
Jeez. Oh my gosh. You'd have to that would be a totally new offense. Air Coryell, Perkins, Earhart. By the way, someone mentioned, you know, Ray Perkins is the last Alabama coach to lose to Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we still call this offense. We still name this offense after him. How about that?
We do. Mike from Shelbyville on the text line says, 4-hour show, nap time for Joe.
It's golf time. I mean, I won't golf, but I will be on a golf course.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I will be golfing. See how it goes today.
We need someone to
get you with us. Why are you not golfing?
We need a videographer to follow you around. Well, I got to leave because I got to go see if Byard's going to talk today.
You have work today.
Will he talk today? Will he talk tomorrow? Will he talk ever?
We'll find out.
Talk to us, Kevin.
Looking forward to the golf tournament coming up today. Willie and D-Mace is coming up next, so looking forward to that. Going to be a fun day over at Hermitage Golf Course. That does it for us. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.